Amen. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving this Thursday. I had two of them. They were good. I enjoyed it. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. We really do. We live in a great country. We live in a great part of the world. I love Mississippi. I moved my family back here because this is where I wanted to raise my kids. It's a great place. Family's close. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. This morning, I would like to talk about the presence of God. And this is so important to us as Christians. I can't express enough how important the presence of God is to believers. And I'm going to get into that as I go through my message, but I want to emphasize that this is the pinnacle of our belief. We know that we're going to be with Jesus one day. We know that he's coming again and he's going to capture his church. We know that. We know he's going to bring us home to him. But the fact that he lives and dwells among us here now, where we are, that he came to earth, became one of us, died as one of us, rose again, and now lives inside of me. That is like the height of our belief, is that Jesus is alive. That it wasn't just a great prophet. He wasn't just a great story that we tell our children to make them behave. But it is a life that we live day in and day out in the presence of God. But I feel that many of us accept Jesus into our life. We accept him as our Savior and we get our ticket to heaven and we stop and we don't embrace the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for this message, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it challenges us. That, God, that it makes us live presence-minded lives. That, God, we are surrounded by your presence. But, Lord, that we would embrace your presence. And we would apply it to our life. That we would not just experience it one day a week or one day a year. But we would live a life in your presence, day in, day out, that we would breathe it, that we would sleep it, that we would eat it, we would consume it, and be in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever met anyone famous? Looking back on your life, have you ever come across someone that was well known? Someone that was known by a lot of people, maybe famous for doing something in particular? Maybe it was a president. An actor, actress, musician, artist, someone who had their 15 minutes of fame for doing something crazy on the internet. Maybe you met them. I don't know. I've had the privilege of meeting several people that I guess are kind of well known. I've met the band Third Day. We opened up for them on this stage many years ago, Rick St. James. I've met Kenny G. At one of his concerts, got to talk to him for just a second. I just came back from a Star Trek convention about a month ago. Got to meet several of my heroes, you know. Got to talk with them. It was neat because, you know, Geordi LaForge, you know, he's the guy, LeVar Burton. He was reading Rainbow, as many of you may know him. And he asked me, he said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a pastor, worship leader." He said, "Oh, that's awesome. How big is your flock?" I was like, "Well, I don't really refer to them as a flock, but that's cool." It was really neat to meet someone that, in my circle, and for the people that watch that show, enjoy the show, would like to meet them. But I don't know them personally. I can read facts on the internet about them, but I've never really had more than a sentence or two conversation with these people. But how awesome would it be if when I met Kenny G and told him I play saxophone too, and I play for my church and all this kind of stuff, if he said, "Hey, you know, I'd like to spend some time with you after the concert. You know, give you some pointers, some tips. Maybe spend some time with you, mentor you, challenge you to be better at what you do." How awesome would that be to a saxophone player? I'm sitting here going, "Shoot, yeah, I'm all about that. Let's do this." But I don't have that opportunity. But see, we have opportunity like that with God. We have an opportunity. We don't just read about him in his word. We don't just hear about him on Sunday mornings. But we have a God who's alive, who says, "I want to spend some time with you. I want to come over to your house And I want to spend some time with you. I want to mentor you. I want to grow you in the gifts that I gave you. I want to make you a better minister. I want to make you a better husband. I want to make you a better wife. I want to make you better. I want to grow you. But you got to spend time with me. Put it on your calendar. Come on, let's make an appointment. I need to spend some time with you. We have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, wants to spend time with me? Really? But that's the truth. He lives inside of us. He dwells in us. But do we actually spend time? You know, I live with my wife. But we can be in the same house and not spend any time together. You hear what I'm saying? We can be in the same room and not spend time together. It's important that we recognize that even though Jesus is in the room, even though Jesus is in the house, are we spending time with Him in His presence? Because there is a difference. God has always wanted to be with us from the very beginning of humanity. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. God gave them rule over the earth. It was His authority. Not to rule instead of Him, but to rule because of Him. It was a great partnership. God and His creation working together to build the world. Then what happened? The devil came in and persuaded Adam and Eve. And they sinned. That authority was forfeited at that point. That dominion was lost. Man was expelled from the garden and lost fellowship with God. But God had a plan to get us back into fellowship with Him. Amen? And that was Jesus. Because it has always been God's desire and God's will to be with His creation. He doesn't want to be some God that's distant in the universe that we just read about and hear about. And we give homage to and we give glory to, but don't have anything to do with. That is not God's intention. That is not God's heart at all. It was always His intention to be with mankind. He walked with them in the cool of the day. Could you imagine that for just a moment? God saying, "How you doing, Daniel? How's life treating you these days? You need anything? You good? What can I do for you?" But that's from spending time with Him. Have you ever had a relative or a friend that maybe you see occasionally? They're kind of at a distance, and you don't really have much to do with them, but they come in, they blow into town, you go out to eat, you spend an hour or two with them, and then it's another 2 or 3 years before you see them again. It's foreign to me to hear people say, "I haven't seen my brother in 4 or 5 years. It's foreign to me to hear, "I haven't spoken to my dad in 10 years. That's foreign to me. Because I have a good relationship with my family. And I there might be several months before I see Jonathan, but I speak to him at least once a week. I see my dad every day. And it's important to me to have that fellowship, that relationship with my father, with my brother, with my family. But when we have encounters like that, when we haven't seen them in a long time, we don't really get much from them. We don't really have much interaction with them. It's just cordial. Is that how it is for us on Sunday mornings when we come into the presence of God? Is it cordial? Is it, "Lord, we thank You, God, for what You've done today in this house. Amen. You may be dismissed." Or are we on our face with God? And we're asking Him to invade our lives. There's a difference. I don't want to have a cordial relationship with God, but I want to have a passionate relationship with God. Day in and day out. The devil has no authority that we don't give him. Only what we allow him to have is what he can have. The fight is not between God and the devil, because that's no matchup. There's no struggle there. The devil doesn't stand a chance in that arena, but the fight is between the devil and man. So God became a man and defeated the devil for us. And won that battle and stole the keys of death. In doing so, He tore the veil that separated man from God. And now fellowship has been restored. Except instead of walking beside us. He lives in us. Amen? That's what we have. That's what we have access to. We know that His presence is all around us. We can't escape it. In Psalms 139, 17, it says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence?" Why would I want to? But we have a choice to experience it. Exodus 33:14 says, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." We don't leave God at church. We don't leave Him here. It's not that He's floating around in this room going, "I hope they come back next week." Because He goes with you. When God's presence is here, when God's Spirit is here, it's because the people of God have come to meet together in the house of the Lord. And His presence is manifested in a corporate, in a powerful way. And that's why we meet at church. Guys, I need this. I need that strength. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So does another man sharpen each other. And we need each other to keep it strong and to encourage us to go another week. Because our flesh is weak. But He's inside of us and we have access to Him. In His presence is where we find healing. In His presence is where we find rest. In His presence is where we find deliverance. It's His presence. Psalms 27:4 says, "One thing I ask that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate." Focus on, think about, dwell on His temple, in His temple. That's where I long to be. I don't want to just come on Sundays and experience the presence of God. He goes with us. I want to feel and experience that presence every day, to live in that peace, in that joy. Every day. You see, in His presence is where we find peace. That's where we find joy. You know, we live our lives and we go through times of trouble. And we know that we're going to have these times of trouble. The Bible doesn't say that we're ever going to have a blissful life. It rains on the just and the unjust. Sickness is going to come. Death is going to happen. Loss is going to take place. But the difference between me and someone who's not living in the presence of God is that I have peace. There's been a lot that has happened to my family in the past few years. We've experienced a lot of things that have been challenging. But I thank God that I had His peace to get through it all. That I had His joy to stand tall and to know that I had something in my life of meaning and worth and value. That it wasn't just empty. I can't imagine dealing with the death of my grandfather and having that loss and that anger and that pain and not having the Savior of the world come and give me peace about it. Give me joy through it. That's what's gotten me through. On the eve of my father's surgery, thinking for just a moment, this could be the last time I could see him. Thinking to myself, is this it? Is this how he's going to go? But feeling God's peace come on me. And I sat there and I hugged his neck and I said, "I love you, Daddy." With confidence to know, no matter what the outcome of that surgery, it wasn't just, "I'm believing for a good healing. I'm believing for a good surgery." It wasn't just that. Because I can find peace in that. Amen? That's easy. If he comes out on the other side of a surgery, I can find peace in that. That's not the problem. The problem is, if he'd not come through that surgery, would I find peace in my God to know he's going to take care of me? And so I had to know before I hugged his neck and said, "I love you, Daddy," that I had peace in my heart that no matter what happened in that situation, I knew my God had me and he loved me and was going to take care of me. Guys, that's peace from the presence of God. I can't have that peace outside of the presence of God. What are we going to have? What do we have left in loss? We have grief. You see, what does the Bible say? He trades my sorrow for joy. He creates beauty from ashes. And that's in the presence of God. That's why we need his presence. Many times I feel Well, let me read Acts 3:20. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's important for us to understand that, yes, things are going to happen. But the difference in our life and the life of someone who's not living in the presence of God is that we find our refreshing. We find our peace. We find our strength. We find our joy in the presence of God. I wonder sometimes when we go through things. Have you ever met anyone that just seems to have one bad thing happen right after another? It just seems like it's piling up. And it seems like it has no end. And you feel bad for them because you're like, you know, they just got over something really rough. And now something else is happening. And I wonder sometimes, I'm not saying this is the case every time, but I can see certain things that led me to believe that I wonder sometimes if we don't bring that on ourselves. Because we worry, we doubt, we waller in self-pity sometimes, and we get in a place, we get in a rut, and we're not running to God, and we're not living a presence-filled life. And then we wonder sometimes why our life is so full of stuff and problems that we're facing. Because, you know, the difference between someone, again, who's living in the presence and not, they're going to get through every storm just fine. They're going to weather the storm. And that's what we need to do in our lives, is live presence-minded. Psalm 73:38 says, "But it is good for me to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge." My place of rest, my place of safety, my shelter, my shield, my refuge. That's in the presence of the Lord. And if we're living in that place, if we're dwelling in that house, all this stuff that's going on around us won't affect us the way that it does if we're living outside of that. Amen? The apostles walked in his presence. They saw many miracles. The power of God flowed out of them. In his presence, there is power. In Acts 5:12 through 16, it says, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade, and none of them dared to join, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more people and more men and women in the Lord were added to their number. As a result, the people brought the sick to in the street and laid hands on them, and they had their mats and their beds so that at least Peter's shadow might even fall on them as they passed by. Crowds gathered also from the town around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed." They wanted to get in the very shadow of Peter because they knew the presence of God was so in them and around them that even just his shadow could possibly heal them. And it wasn't Peter. It was the power of God. It was the Holy Spirit flowing out of him. When they threw that dead body in the tomb and it rolled up against the bones of Elijah, what happened? The very bones, the guy's been dead. But the power of God was so infused inside of him that the very bones brought life to that man. The power of God, the presence of God, that's what we should strive for. I've heard people say they look up to me. I've heard people say that they wish they were more like me. And I'm flattered by that and surprised sometimes at that because I don't see myself as a role model all the time. I try to be a good example for these young people. I try to be a good example for my kids. But people say, "Man, I wish that I had the love of God that you have or the passion for God that you have." And I say to myself, "You haven't seen the struggle. You haven't seen the times in prayer that I've had. You haven't seen the tears. You haven't seen the groanings and the moanings and the time that I wanted to give up. But I didn't give up. And the only thing about me that I can even say is that I seek the presence of God in my life. That's the only way that I can do anything that I've ever done. In my own strength, I fail miserably. But through Christ, I can do all things." And walking in that presence and walking in that life is what we should strive for. You know, I try to liken the presence of God. I try to figure that out in my mind of how to even explain that to someone. Have you ever tried to explain when people say, what do they mean when they say the presence of God? And I try to think of it in terms, the only way that I can really think about it is like radiation. Follow me here. Imagine like kryptonite to Superman. When he even gets around it, it has a negative effect on him. And we recognize radiation as a negative effect. The longer you spend around radiation, that power corrodes your body. It deteriorates it. It brings harm to you. But imagine if there was a radiation. Imagine if there was a power that had just the opposite effect on you. That the longer you spend in the atmosphere of that material, that power, it has a positive effect on your life. And it starts to burn away the things that aren't supposed to be there. And it edifies the parts of the body and the things in your life that should be there. Imagine that. That radiation that comes from the Son of God. It radiates from Him, that love, that power, that presence. It's all around. And you ever just walked into a service that was just so full of God's presence and you almost just buckled at the power of God because it was so strong? You just felt it like it was hard to stand. In practice today, we were worshiping and it just overwhelmed me. And I just begin to cry because it fills my heart. That's this radiation of God, the power of God just flowing out. It's an awesome power. If we liken the presence of God to a diet, if you eat a healthy meal one time in your life, you might feel good about yourself. If you exercise one time, you might feel really good. After you've exercised, you might feel really good. After doing a run or after doing a jog or exercise of some sort, push-ups, pull-ups, elliptical, whatever, I feel really good after. I'm a little tired at first, but then I have this energy that comes on me. But if I did it just one time, would that benefit me? If I just ate healthy just one meal, is that enough? If I came to God's house just one time, is that enough? If I spend time in God's presence just once, is that enough? We have to make it a lifestyle. We can't just live on one good meal. That'd be awesome though, wouldn't it? If the doctor just said, look, if you'll just eat this one thing, you'll be good for the rest of your life. And you won't have to worry about weight. You won't have to worry about muscle tone and all of that. You'll just be in perfect health if you eat this one meal. Well, we'd all be on that. But it's not that way. You don't get healthy by eating one meal and then eating junk. You don't get healthy by working out one time and then laying down every other day. You don't cultivate a presence of God by just coming to church on Sunday morning and then going home and living some other way. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. God's presence is something that we cultivate to live in and day out. Okay, so I have a job. I go to school. How can I don't have time to have time in God's presence? I guarantee you, if we were to look at our schedule, I guarantee you, if we were to look at what we do on a weekly basis, that we should be able to find time. I'm very fortunate in my position, and it's easy for me to say this to you because I'm in a position where it's my job to spend time in the presence of God. That's what's expected of me. You guys expect me to spend time before the Lord, to seek His will and what I should share and what I should sing and what I should do. And as a pastor, that's what we do. We spend time with God. We spend time in His Word. But we also do it as an example to show you what a life would be like in. And we're not perfect, guys. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We all have the same struggles that you have. But we have that time. We make that time. But it's hard for me, too, to even when I have time, it's hard for me to make the commitment. It's hard for me to make the commitment to even exercise. Even I know it's going to make me feel good. But we have to make that time. And what I love about the presence of God is you don't always have to get alone with God to experience the presence of God. It's good if you are easily distracted, but you don't have to get alone with Him every time just to get in His presence. You can actually walk in His presence at work. And I've done that. You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. I used to think that that meant that we are supposed to like be constantly verbalizing our prayers. You know, that we should always be saying something. No. You can pray with your mind. You can pray with your heart. But our mind should always be set on Him. We should always be thinking about heavenly things. We should always be thinking about godly things. But I believe that we are a selfish people. And I'm speaking to myself. I tell you all the time I preach to myself too. But I believe that self sometimes gets in the way of us getting into the presence of God. If you were to show me a godly couple where both of them are seeking the presence of God, individually and together, and they're seeking the will of God for their family, for their marriage, for their lives, and they're earnestly seeking, they're diligently seeking God's will because they want the best that God has for their life. You show me a couple like that, I will show you a happy marriage. Because we know that it's God's will for us to work together as a team. When husband and wife are joined, the two are made one, guys. It's not like there's always just two sitting there and one can go off and do something else. It is two made one. And you show me a family that's doing that, that's praying together, that's seeking God together, and pushing self aside for just a moment and saying, I want what's best for us, not me. I'll show you a happy marriage. I really believe that. I really believe that. We've got to get self out of the way. Too many times it's about us and what we want. And when we don't get what we want, there's a void that we fill in our life. We feel that it's a void, it's an emptiness. And I believe that when there's that void and that emptiness in our life, everything starts collapsing in on itself. If there's a void in your marriage is going to collapse. If there's a void in your life concerning your business could collapse. Your family could collapse. But if we don't have that foundation of the presence of God in our life to inflate that void with His presence, that's what's going to make an impact on this world. That's what's going to make an impact on marriages. That's what's going to make an impact on our kids. Imagine having a home where the presence of God was welcome in your home, what that would do for our children. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. Hallelujah. Now, I love the way we sang that song, when you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble. His presence can change the atmosphere of things around us. Fighting the darkness is really easy in His presence. Because light dispels darkness. Darkness cannot exist in light. It can't overtake the light. And I love that. Darkness cannot overtake the light. No matter how dark it may seem, no matter how bleak it is, darkness cannot overtake the light. The light will always dispel the darkness. So if we're walking in His presence, then it's going to dispel that darkness. When He walks into the room, when He walks into your situation. Psalms 23:5 says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I love that because I think of this huge epic battle going on. And we're stressed. We're super stressed because there's something that's going to come against us. And there's an army coming our way. And we're like, this is hopeless. I can't do this. I can't fight this. And we turn around and we're like, God, what are you doing? And He's like setting up fried chicken on a table and He's setting rolls and biscuits and gravy and mashed potatoes and all this kind of stuff. And we're like, there's an army. And He's like, hey, you want some chicken? Can you see the picture that God has in His mind when it comes to the battles that are raging against us? He's like, I prepared a feast. And we're going to sit down and we're going to eat before I tackle these guys. That's how relaxed He is. That's how comfortable God is, because it's not a thing to Him. We get all worked up and we get all bent out of shape when things go wrong, but God has everything under control and He says, let's stop, my child, and let's just eat. Get your strength, because we're fixing to wage war. And when I wage war, it's going to be over, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? And that's the kind of mentality that God has. He takes it easy and we get all worked up. You know, whenever they were in the boat, in Matthew 8:23, it says, then He got into the boat and His disciples followed Him. Suddenly, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Now, all the other disciples are fearful for their life, and they're all up in arms and they're all freaking out because there's a storm and Jesus is on the boat, and they find Him, and what's He doing? He's sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are we afraid? Why do we have fear? Why do we have doubt? Why do we stumble? Why does that get us so often? Why, when we hit a bump in the road? Why, when there's a rock in front of us? When there's a mountain that needs to be moved? When there's something that didn't go our way? Why are we so upset about it? Why are we so afraid? Jesus is over here sleeping. He's not worried about it. He's not concerned about it. He's got it under control. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus is in the boat. He's on board. He lives in you. He's inside of you. What have we got to fear? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If the Lord is for me, who can stand against me? When you're in the presence of God, what can stand against you? That is the power that we walk in. That is the might that we walk in. It's not my power. It's not my might. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord that walks with you, that goes before you, that's behind you, to the north, the south, the east, and the west. They were in his presence. They were walking in the presence of God when they did those miracles in Acts. We want to see signs and wonders, but we don't want to do what it takes to get to that point. We want to have a trim body, but we don't want to do what it takes to get to that point. We don't want to stop eating what we shouldn't eat. We don't do what it is that we're supposed to do. And then we wonder why we don't see signs, wonders, and miracles in our families, in our lives, and in our church. Now, I look out across this congregation, and I see evidence of people that are walking in the presence of God. You can tell. You can see it. And that's not to say that the ones that you can't necessarily tell doesn't mean that they're not doing that. But you can see in certain people that there's a closeness that they have with the Lord. You see it in their lives. You see it beyond the church. You see it in their homes. You see it in their lives. The blessings of God are just overflowing in their life. That's where I want to walk, church. I want to walk so that I know whenever the hard times come, when I hit that bump in the road, when I hit that bump in our marriage, that I don't just freak out and say, it's all over. I'm giving up. I guess we had a good run at this baby. 18 years is good. We did better than most. Come on. 18 years is a long time these days. They're good if they get past 6 months, I think, sometimes. I don't know if they get home good, some of them. But when we hit that bump in the road and we say, God is in control of my marriage. God is in control of my life. No, it's not always going to be easy. And yes, there's going to be a lot of hurt down the road. It's coming. Look for it. But the difference is you got a God who's carrying you through that. You got a God who will heal that hurt. And if you're working together as a team, and I single out marriage because that does seem to be a struggle that the church and the world seems to be going through on a regular basis. And I hear it a lot. But I serve a God. I serve a God who's mighty. I serve a God who, when I walk in his presence, things happen. Things change. Hearts are burning. Lives are changed. Sickness is fleeing. Death is no sting. And I believe it. I believe we can walk in the presence of God. Let's stand to our feet. I want to challenge you this morning. I want us to sing that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your presence. It's where we find peace. It's where we find joy. It's where we find rest. It's where we find strength. It's where we find healing. It's where we find your power, God, your deliverance. It breaks addictions. In your presence. But Lord, I don't want to experience it just once. God, I want to experience it every day. I want to walk in it. I want to live in it. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit. I really hope that you take hold of this message today. I realize a lot of times when you preach messages like this, maybe 1 or 2%
will run with this wholeheartedly, and you have some that will run with it just a little bit, and some that won't listen to it altogether. But I pray that you take this home with you today, because I really feel that the church struggles when it needs not struggle. I see marriages struggling when they need not struggle, because we have a God. We have a God that we just don't call on enough. We don't pull on enough. We don't walk with enough. He's there waiting for you. And I challenge you this morning. I challenge you this morning. Seek the presence of God. The Bible says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. I believe it. He is there. He's alive. And guys, I'm a walking proof of it. My life is not perfect, but I can see. I can see where I walk in the presence of the Lord and how it affects my life. I can see how I'm walking in the peace of God when I should be down on my back. But I won't let it get to me. I won't give up. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to live with Him. I'm going to love Him. In Jesus' name, amen.